Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with your co-host Mark Holland, it's the Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant. Hello, Mr. Grant.
Hello, Mark. How are you today?
Really good. And the question is, how are you today?
Well, I'm doing well, thank you.
You said you got a new hairdo. You've got your camera guy in here taking a few pictures, some action shots.
It's going to be a good show if they could only see behind the scenes, right?
All right. Hey, this week, back to estate planning 101, something you call estate planning life cycle, the life cycle of estate planning.
Yeah, that's right. Every estate plan really does have a life cycle to it. And where we are in that journey or the life cycle of the estate plan depends on so many different factors. But I want to kind of introduce the listeners to the different steps that we need to incorporate as we think through our estate plan. And hopefully by maybe going through these eight different steps, someone might be able to see and get a glimpse of where their estate plan is and whether or not it's still going to function as it's designed and as they envision. And so so really those eight steps, let's review those as we start the program.
Eight steps. So step number one is the exploration and education part.
Yeah, that's right. And so in other words, where have we been educated and do we know enough about estate planning to actually make the proper decisions?
Okay.
And so that's a glimpse of what we'll come back. And we're going to come back and talk about each one of these steps in more detail.
Out. Okay, yep. The next one is engage and create or counseling.
Yeah, that's right. So as soon as we have some good education, then we need to actually be in action. We need to take the step to create the plan itself.
Okay. Number three, financial integration.
That's right. So with every estate plan, if our finances, what we have in our estate is not matching what the plan we just put together, then we're going to be setting up for failure.
Okay. Number four, continuation and commitment.
Yeah, the continuation commitment is really the relationship component of how engaged are we? Do we think that an estate plan is a one-time gig, or have we really learned and understood that this life cycle needs to be something we come back to?
Okay. Number five, the family reception.
Is our family ready?
Mm-hmm.
So this is about, estate planning is about the opportunity to have a say and a voice in making transition from ourselves to our family. And it's not just a document that's going to do it. The family needs to be ready to actually engage the plan to assist us and then to receive.
Life adjustments. Things happen in life, so you got to adjust.
That's right. And that's really going to be talking about that day by day, I tend to get older. I don't know what it is about that. And so therefore, as I go through this aging process and as we go through this aging process, we're going to experience different needs at different places of our life. And so is the estate plan matching each one of those needs as we walk through the journey of life?
Mm-hmm. Number seven, the settlement system.
Yeah, this is kind of where we start losing control because now we're gone. And so now the plan is being leaned into. And what does it look like when the plan actually has to be engaged?
Mm-hmm. Number eight is a two-parter, legacy fulfillment.
Yeah, so legacy fulfillment is now really the wealth reception. So have we done a good job of training our family? Are they ready for it?
Mm-hmm.
And so so I'll take over the part A here, which is there's two types of estate plan. Number one, I'm married. Mm-hmm. So statistically, there's a very, very small chance that my wife and I are going to pass away at the same time.
Right.
So one of us is being left behind. So
right.
Has the plan properly accounted that my spouse is being cared for?
Okay.
Versus the plan then is that when she passes away or whenever the second one of us passes away, I guess.
Statistically, though, men don't live as long.
Statistically, that's why mm-hmm. I say when she mm-hmm. passes away. So, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So then is the plan ready? And has it been upheld during the surviving spouse's lifetime to be passed to the heirs?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the part B of that legacy fulfillment. So are we ready to actually have the legacy that we're leaving behind
mm-hmm.
walk through the plan of attack, both whether it's my spouse or whether it's my kids, mm-hmm. or wherever that goes, if we don't have kids, then maybe to other family members or to charities. Mm-hmm. Whatever the plan is, it needs to reach that final destination, and mm-hmm. is that place ready to receive exactly what we have?
Okay, kind of the estate planning life cycle in a nutshell there. So let's go back and kind of flesh some of these out. Back to number one, exploration and education.
Yeah, and that really starts with...
Starts with listening to the show, perhaps.
Yeah, thank you so much for that plug. That's a fantastic plug. But yes, it really does. Is the individual who wants to create the estate plan, do we have the proper understanding and knowledge of what we need? So oftentimes that can start with something like this show, or one of the reasons that we have educational sessions constantly going on. So typically we try to have one about every 6 to 8 weeks in our system. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, you can find those educational programs at legacyandfaith.com. So head over to our website.
You can attend those online.
Yeah, that's right. You don't even have to come mm-hmm. to our office anymore. Mm-hmm. So we have live streaming available. Mm-hmm. And it's a great opportunity then to connect with this first component, which mm-hmm. is, do I understand enough about estate planning that I can actually make the proper decisions that need to be made and understand what do I need to accomplish my vision? And so it really does start there. And I've talked in many different programs about what is your vision? That is really what estate planning is all about. Estate planning is really all about me capturing somebody's vision and then creating a predictable known outcome with that plan. Mm-hmm. That's my job. So as an attorney, you come into the office. I need to flesh out exactly what is the vision, and then I'm the one who's supposed to create the documents around that vision. And that vision can really go in two different directions as an overall possibility. So number one is that we've talked about wills versus trusts, and that's because those are the only two tools that I really have at my disposal. I can use a will or I can use a trust, and it doesn't get any more complicated in estate planning than making that first election of determining what is in my family's best interest and what will accomplish my long-term vision. So if it was really about just transferring money, I can do that very, very quickly and very easily. Heck, most of us already do. We either have our stuff jointly held with our spouses. That's actually estate planning, because if I were to die and there is an account in my joint name with my wife, then the joint owner wins. So whoever, it's kind of like a last man standing scenario, right? So my wife wins the I'm going to get older than you competition, and she in the account defaults to her. So joint is a way that we can do estate planning. I can use a beneficiary designation. So that's a way of actually leaving money to somebody. But in wills and in joint tenancy and or using a beneficiary designation, all of those things are check writing instruments. So we've accomplished a bare basics goal.
Just by having a joint account.
Yeah. At least it's a basic goal, which mm-hmm. is that I want to make sure that my wife, or I want to make sure that if I use a beneficiary designation, that my kid at least gets what I have. Mm. But that may fall short of what the true vision is for somebody to actually do and engage in estate planning. Mm. Maybe they have a special needs child. And so actually getting the bank account to that child could be the worst thing possible, because it may interrupt social benefits. Mm. Maybe we have a beneficiary that has no concept of money management. Mm. And that's not a bad thing. That is just that they may have not learned the skill of managing money.
Why would that interrupt social benefits, getting back to the dependent child?
Yeah, because if there's money in someone's name, the government says, well, that's your money and you must use it. So therefore, we're not obligated, or we're not going to assist you any longer.
Okay.
So we may need to set up a special needs trust. A special needs trust would be a proper holding container that it can go in there. And then that special needs trust in a very high level, rudimentary way says, don't use this money if the government can assist you, but only use it in areas where the government will not assist you. Okay. So we've now left the bank account or the investment account or a home or whatever else we may have. We've left it in a proper way to ensure that the vision that we have for our family, someone who needs assistance, can appropriately use the money while not interrupting the assistance.
Okay.
But, and then I was talking about maybe somebody just hasn't gathered the information, or they're just not good at managing money. They may be a phenomenal individual with other gifts and talents that are off the chart, but not all of us manage money well. It's just a simple fact. It doesn't make us a bad person. Okay. So what if that person doesn't have money management skills and we drop blank many dollars on them? Even if it's $50,000 and it's all gone.
Most people treat an inheritance like winning the lottery and go right out and blow most of it within a year or two.
That's right. Yeah. And so because,
but that's everybody almost.
Yeah, that's a very, very high percentage. So that kind of goes back to the lottery winners. 80% of lottery winners go to bankruptcy. And my proposition, my theory is that inheritors have the same characteristics as a lottery winner because we didn't earn it. We didn't pour out our blood, sweat, and tears. So we look at the money differently than if it was ours by earning. Mm. And therefore, because of the change in mentality, we change how we're going to use that money, where we've resisted, where we've made different financial choices based upon our own money within our budget scheme, but then we throw that out the window when we receive something suddenly. Mm-hmm. And even Proverbs talks about that we need to be cautious about a sudden windfall in finances. Mm-hmm. So receiving money out of the blue, receiving money, and this could also apply, by the way, this could apply also to ministries.
Who receive money out of the blue, or a lot of money they weren't expecting.
That's right. And so a lot of us go to very well-meaning but small organizations as far as churches, or we want to engage and leave something behind to a small ministry or nonprofit. And many times they don't know how to manage money because they're just average people sitting on the board who want to do well. And so all of a sudden, in the same manner, they may not do what is proper with what they've received. And I know it's easy to say, well, you know, that they have to deal with God about that. They have their own stewardship umbrella, or they have their own stewardship that they have to stand before God and to make an account. And my proposition back to you is that, but God gave you the stewardship, not just to hand off the stewardship.
Right.
And so therefore, whether it's to an individual, whether it's to a ministry, there's many ways that we can need education to, in order to effectively pass on what God has given us stewardship over. And it's really this first part, this exploration and education, that we need to get down well in order to make the proper decisions and really make that long-lasting legacy. And I don't care if that legacy is $50,000 or if it's $50 million. We have a legacy. We probably have a legacy within those spheres that we are responsible for, and it's going to take education based upon what we do have, our needs during our lifetime, in order to make a proper plan that ultimately glorifies God. Because I think that's all of our heart's desire, is that if you're listening to this show, if you've turned on KCIS, then I believe that your heart is to be a follower of Jesus Christ, like mine is. And therefore, ultimately, that's my heart's desire. I want to use everything that He has given me charge over to glorify Him and glorify His kingdom, whether it passes to organizations or whether it passes to my wife or my kids, or whether it's a mix. I want to glorify Him. And there is an education and a responsibility I have to make sure I'm making the right decisions to fulfill that ultimate heart's cry.
The estate planning life cycle this week on the Legacy and Faith Show. You can tell that Paul Grant, he really likes step number one. We've got seven more to go. He's an educator at heart. And there's all kinds of sessions and different information on your website, and people can contact you there. Paul, how do they do that?
Head on over to legacyandfaith.com. And as Mark just said, we have educational. We have all of our past podcasts. So the educational shows also you can sign up for. And so legacyandfaith.com.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Co-host Mark Holland along with Paul Grant this week, estate and tax planning attorney and estate educator, I think this week, really getting the heart of Paul as he looks at estate planning's life cycle.
Yep.
We just heard about step number one, the exploration and education. On to number two, engaging and creating or counseling.
That's right. So after we've really been able to flush out what we need, now we need to find the right person, the right law firm to help us engage in that next step. And let me say something here. This is not a completely self-serving step. Look, I'm an attorney, and yes, I would love to help you. But it is my opinion that you need to find someone that you can engage with. So let's start with the do-it-yourselfer. You can engage and create a plan online. So you can do this by yourself. But I put a word in parentheses after this bullet point. So on paper, it says engage and create. And then in parentheses, it says counseling. Mm. So if you're going to do it yourself, then my question is, who's counseling you? So who is helping you actually take what you've learned and educated yourself about, or hopefully that's come through other voices, and who is going to counsel you through the process? I think people come to the office, and one of the things I hear quite often is, I just want a simple plan. Now, my first reaction is, you just want a cheap plan is what you mean. So let me say this. There is no estate plan that is simple. We all have a unique life. We all have unique circumstances, unique family. We all have different assets. And there is a uniqueness to all of us that needs to be pulled out so that the plan can actually meet your specific family and your specific needs. Each of us, and this is a bullet point a little bit later down the line, but each of us will walk a very unique journey in this lifetime. Some of us may encounter sickness, and it may linger with us, and we need to have an estate plan that accounts for that. Some of us may not have very much money, and we may need to account of how do we leverage or rearrange our assets so that if we need social assistance, that can be possible. Yet others of us have been blessed and have sufficient finances. So what does it mean to walk through these different steps? Some of us may never have a day of sickness in our life and die peacefully in our sleep, and so we want to make sure that this all is really utilized by our families. All of those different scenarios mean that the plan needs to be created by counseling with another voice in an appropriate way to match those goals and really match and anticipate what your specific scenario is. So creating the plan itself is not as easy as just going online and clicking a couple buttons and filling in our kids' names.
But half people, they don't even do that.
Well, I agree with you.
Yeah,
you're right.
They don't even do that part.
Yep.
So, you know, half people, 50% of the population has no plan, no will.
That's right.
Of any kind.
You're exactly correct. So. And so if we don't do something, if we actually don't take the education and take the action step of doing a plan, then we're left to whatever Washington law says. So I've mentioned this before. It doesn't mean the government takes your stuff. It means that Washington State has the plan where you didn't actually create your voice. And that plan may not work exactly as you want it. So again, whether it's a little or a lot, we all need a plan. As a matter of fact, all of us need a plan because we all need to ensure that we are protected and safe as an individual. So what if you land in a hospital? Who has the authority to speak on your behalf? Who has the legal authority to make medical decisions, to work with a certain doctor, to enact a treatment or turn off a treatment? So all of these things, that's where estate planning starts. It's not about dying. It's about living. And I think that's the greatest misnomer in estate planning is that we think estate planning is about dying. And I'm here to tell you estate planning is about living. And that is the first goal. And so we need to engage and create through counseling a plan that anticipates you living. And then when you do pass away, what is the next step? And so engage and create, there's your action. Your action is that you have to take what you learn and actually make the plan itself. And I encourage you that you need an estate planner. And if it's not me, then find somebody that you can trust. Find somebody that will engage with you properly out of the things, hopefully, that you've learned from this show. There's a lot of other areas that I would encourage you. Find the right estate planner. And so that is the engage and create. Take the action step. Don't just learn. Right? The Bible tells us to be a doer of the word. And so we have to engage at some place with what we learn. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it just sits there and it's been knowledge again. Mm-hmm. So engage and create, and it needs to be with counseling.
Okay, number three, it sounds like we're ready for financial integration.
That's
right. What do you mean by this?
Yeah, so whether you use a will or whether you use a trust, your financial pieces in your life need to blend to that plan. So if we use a will, then that means that we're really just trying to get whatever we have left over to the proper people. And that's a good step. That I'm not diminishing that is an important step. Now, if you listen to my show at all, then you understand and probably already know that I tend to like that the trust instead of a will, because trusts are far more flexible. I can actually, as your attorney, protect you during your lifetime far better in a trust than I can with a power of attorney. And the trust as a holding container then holds all of our assets. So if we ever experience a time of disability or incapacitation, it makes the experience for those who are going to assist us much smoother versus a power of attorney. So, but having some type of an estate plan is better than having no estate plan at all. At least we've voiced exactly where things are going. So even in a will, we need to make sure that our financial accounts align with that plan. So for example, if I have two kids, and one of my kids, in my example, was doing very, very well, and the other one was doing very, very poorly financially. And we actually had a family meeting, so there was no angst. It wasn't because I am disinheriting a child, or it's not because there was something going on in the family dynamics that made me take that step. It was simply that as a family, we said, okay, don't leave it to child number one. Let's leave it to child number two, or a majority thereof. And then as a family, we decide that that was the best course of action because child number one has sufficient and child number two doesn't. If I've created a plan in a will or in a trust, but I have failed to come back to my assets, I have failed to make my bank accounts reflect that, my investment accounts, my 401k or IRA, if I've failed to have that reflect on my house deed, then all these things may still say, leave it 50-50. Mm. And so, in other words, my financial integration, the financial components don't match what I've just created. This is potentially one of the biggest mistakes that people make. Mm. And so what I'd like to do is I'm going to come back and I'm going to share just a little more about the financial integration in next week's show as we talk about the estate planning life cycle. And we'll continue next week with this.
Okay. Yeah. With eight steps here. We're just into number 3.5 as we continue next week with more of the estate planning life cycle. A lot of great information this week. Again, as you can tell, Paul loves to educate people, and people have access to your website where they can get all kinds of online training even.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So it's at legacyandfaith.com. Education, the ability to sign up for that education, also past podcasts that we've mentioned as well. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Legacyandfaith.com, another great edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.